There's a word from the Lord, y'all. There's a word from the Lord. We're preaching from our sermon series. Our sermon series, it's non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. It was Dr. Dennis Rainey, best-selling Christian author and president of Family Life, an affiliate of Campus Crusade for Christ. He published an article some time ago titled, Seven Essentials for the Christian Life. Seven essentials, critical things, important things, necessary things for the Christian life. And in the article, Dr. Rainey poses the question to readers, what's non-negotiable for your faith? What's not open for discussion? What's not open for modification? What are the critical things, the essentials of your faith? Now, any person that knows how to bake a cake, and let me be straight up, I don't do that very often. I'm probably not very good at it. And so I trust Sister Jackie on that. But anybody that knows something about baking a cake knows that there are some non-negotiables when it comes to baking a cake. Isn't that right, Sister LaTanya? She can bake a cake, y'all. She can make a good cake. And so so there's some non-negotiables when it comes to the ingredients. That when you come to when you go to prepare the cake and you go to bake it, that you've got to have some flour and some sugar and some eggs. Am I right, y'all? You got to have some of these things, some extracts like some vanilla and some lemon and all of that. The baking time has to be right. The temperature has to be right. These are non-negotiables if you want a cake that has some flavor and doesn't fall flat. Thank you so much, Justice. Thank you for standing. Amen. God bless you. But if you want a good cake and you don't want it to fall flat, you have to follow the non-negotiables. I believe the same principles apply to our lives. That there are some non-negotiables, some essentials, if we don't want our faith life to fall flat. And we want flavor in our lives, spiritual flavor in our lives, as we glorify and remain faithful to God Almighty. That we must spend time on the non-negotiables so that our lives glorify God. But what are the non-negotiables? Have we taken time to think about that? What are the non-negotiables about your faith? What do you hold true to so that the guardrails of your life that you have guardrails and you don't go flying over in the edge and in a place that you don't want to be as it relates to your faith and your walk with God? So again, I'm asking you the question. So what's non-negotiable in your faith walk? Because you have to deal with it and determine it right now. That when the enemy comes and he's hot on your trail, that's not the time to think about, well, do I do this or not? Or where do I fall with this? That right now, today, young people, you have to determine what are the non-negotiables as it relates to your faith. Because some of you are graduating, you're in college, and you're going out into a world where a whole lot of stuff is happening. But you have to determine right now today, where am I going to draw the line in the sand and say, I'm not crossing that line and you don't cross this line either. What are the non-negotiables of your faith? You need to know it now. And so I think the best place for us to look is the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God, it endures forever. And so the entire purpose of this preaching series, y'all, is to call us all to deliberately think about the non-negotiables in our lives. Y'all remember last week we went to the book of Amos chapter 5, where God speaks through this preacher. I call him a country preacher, a simple man. But he preaches to the nation of Israel, and he says to them, seek God. Seek God and live. I think that's the basic principle of all of Scripture, that God wants us to seek him and to truly live. Because without God, you really don't have real life. You may think you're living. You may think everything is hunky-dory and going well, and you got it on, and you got your life before you. But real life begins with God. Eternal life is in God. And so please turn with me in your Bibles now on your electronic devices, or look to the screen to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Hopefully this is a familiar story for many of you. Happens to be one of my favorite stories in Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. I'll read aloud as you're looking at your electronic devices or your Bibles or to the screen. And amen. Starting in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs. There are more with us than are with them." I need y'all to hear me this morning. We have more on our side than whoever they is. Then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the next non-negotiable that I want to talk about this morning, it comes from this word. I'm living in faith, not in fear. I'm living in faith, not in fear. How many of us are determined to do that? That's a non-negotiable in our lives. That we know that God is on our side, and so we're determined to live in faith and not fear. So here in the text, y'all, the king of Aram, or Syria as we know it, he was furious, y'all. He was hot. He was frustrated and irritated because every time he developed a strategic plan to defeat Israel, it always failed. His plan was to ambush them, and he would develop this strategy. He talked to his soldiers about it. They go out, and the plan was, it was undone. So some of the king's officers told him that somehow Elisha, the great prophet, he had this supernatural ability, y'all, of discernment. And he was able to discern what the king was even thinking or saying while he was sleeping, and he was in his bed chambers. So again, the king is hot, and so what does he do? He sends out an entire army against one man. You know you're a bad dude or dudette when the enemy will send a whole army out against you. And mind you, that an army that cannot beat you because they're more with you than they that are with them. And so a great army surrounds Elisha and this young servant. The servant woke up the next morning, y'all, and what saw him shook him. It shook him to the core. We can only imagine what he felt, that he was scared out of his wits. He couldn't think straight, didn't know what to do. So he runs to Elisha the prophet and says, "What in the world are we going?" He runs to him like a child runs to their parent. What are we going to do? So then in this historical text, we find the story of a fearful servant, a fearless prophet, and a faithful God who acts on behalf of his people. A historical event that can be instructive for us today when fear comes upon us. And so let me ask you a question again. So where do you run, or where do you go when you're afraid? That's a good question. That hopefully there's some people that are around us that we can talk to, we can go to. That sometimes we go to places that we should not go, and we do things that we should not do. Because fear produces anxiety, and when we have anxiety, we want relief from our anxiety and our fears and our worries, and sometimes we can go to the wrong places, but I submit to you this morning that the best place to go is to go to God. Any witnesses in the house today? I really believe this. In fact, it's our faith in God that can cause us not to fear. And so in this story, I want us to see again, let's look first at this fearful servant. The unnamed servant of Elisha had to start with the reality of being surrounded by his enemies. He couldn't deny that it was real. This was not something that he made up in his mind, that he didn't try to change his circumstance. What he saw before him was very real. He saw horses and chariots. He saw this stuff. He rose early in the morning, and right before his eyes, he saw this danger before him. His response was to be afraid. And now we can look at the text, y'all, and the truth is it makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? You wake up and you go outside your house and you're surrounded by folk with guns and they're ready to take you out. You'd probably be afraid. that there is a natural response to fear. Can we be honest that all of us get afraid sometimes? It's a natural human response. Now, if I know for some folk in here, if someone were to take a snake out of a bag and throw it out into the congregation, it would set it off up in here. Them doors would be busting wide open, so folk would be running. Still love God, but we have these natural fears. But the reality is we can't even allow natural fears to take control of our lives, to take over. You know, a whole lot of people are afraid today in the days in which we live. There's a whole lot of uncertainty in the world in which we live. And people are scared of everything. There are people that don't want to leave their homes. Yet COVID is out in the world. We ought to be concerned. If you want to wear a mask, that's all good. But we cannot allow our fears to take control of our lives. Because when we do that, we say, in essence, listen, my fears are bigger than God. And that should never be. And so I can only imagine this servant in this fight, two against thousand. It's uneven. And if I were a betting man, I'd have put my money on the Syrian army. And so like the unnamed servant, have you ever looked around you for real, though? Have you ever looked around you for real and you were surrounded by some issues? I dare to say right now, there's somebody in this house right now, somebody listening in right now. It's not one issue, it's many things. You're surrounded by some issues today. Again, in the world in which we live, we have causes for fear. Listen, look at the economy. Look at the state of the leadership of this country. The people are divided and they're fighting. There's so much uncertainty. There are health issues that some people are dealing with, financial issues that people are dealing with. And fear is the feeling that if not brought under control can get the best of us, leaving us mistrustful and even paranoid, just scared of everything. We can even allow people that are in our lives to cause us to fear because we don't want to let them down. I got quiet on me right there. You got quiet. That we try to keep this image, and if we think there's something that we can do that hurts a person, we don't want to hurt them, and so we do what we need to please them, because if we don't please them, they don't want to be our friend, or they don't want to be with us, and we can fear. And too often times in our lives, if we're not careful, listen, we can compromise or negotiate our faith or our Christian identity. So here's what I find interesting about this story. This servant most likely saw some of the miracles of Elisha. Y'all know Elisha. Some of you Bible, you know him, that he's a great prophet, a great man of God. That he follows in the footsteps of the great prophet Elijah. And Elijah was taken up to God in a whirlwind. Elisha stood there, and what he wanted from God was a double portion of Elijah's blessings. And so when you read the story of Elisha, what he does, his miracles, they are double that and probably more than that of Elijah. So certainly this servant would have seen at some point this man's great power, what God was doing in his life. Talk about the story with the widow that only a small container of oil. That she had a small cruise, a small flask of oil, y'all, and her debtors had came, and so they were going to take her sons, and so all she had was this little oil. But Elisha shows up. He shows up on the scene, y'all. He said, "What you got in the house, girl? All I got is a little oil. Go out to your neighbors and get some pots. Get as many as you can. Bring them back into the house. Put your sons in the house, and I want you to take that little oil you got to start pouring." She begins to pour. That pot is full. Pour, keep on pouring. Where is it? Keep on. Next pot. Keep on pouring. Until finally she said, "Where's the next? We ain't got no more pots, mama." All right. All right. All right. And God performed a miracle in her life. The miracle in the life of the Shunammite woman. Miracles. Miracle of a poison pot of stew turned good. Miracles. The healing of Naaman, the leper, healed. The miracle of the floating. All these miracles. Now, one would think if we saw someone perform at least a few of these miracles, listen, whatever came our way, we wouldn't have to fear. We wouldn't have to worry. But can I play the armchair, Christian armchair quarterback for a minute? Because y'all know we have this way of looking at biblical text, and we look at the lives of other folk, and we look at stuff. Now, if that had been me, I'd have done it this way. I'd have done it that way. I wouldn't have been scared. I wouldn't have. Can I just play Christian armchair quarterback for just a bit? That's what we do. If they saw all the stuff that Jesus did, now why they behave like that? Why they get scared? Why they act like that? But let me bring it home. We love God. We seen God work some miracles and do some miraculous things. But I tell y'all, some things have come our way that shook us to our core. As sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost as we are, they shook us to our core. And if we were honest, we were afraid. And so let me get out of my easy chair and stand up and testify that as a pastor and as a preacher, there's some things that have come my way in my life that have caused me to fear. So we see this fearful servant in the text. And let me say this to you. Though you might be surrounded by unfavorable circumstances, you don't have to let it restrict or limit your vision of better and what God can do in your life. Don't let it dictate to your future. That it can hold us, it can captivate us and capture us and imprison us. But listen, baby, you got to break free. You cannot remain fearful of the things that surround you, the issues that are in your life. That God is bigger than any issue you might have. That he's bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger and larger than your fears that you have. Don't let fears control you. You're this fearful servant. The next thing we notice in the text, y'all, I'll be done in a few minutes. We see this fearless prophet. This fearless prophet. Elisha's servant got up early the next morning, went outside, and he saw defeat. He asked Elisha, "What are we going to do?" My interpretation of that is, I'm looking at the story, you know, I don't think he spoke French. He's like, "We." I think he's looking at Elisha and said, "Man of God, what you going to do? Because I sure don't know what to do." Because in a sense, if you look at this servant, he's resigned to defeat. So here we see two men looking at the same scenario, the same situation, the same army, but they have two different responses. One man was fearful and the other man was fearless. What made the difference? I dare to say that it was Elisha's faith in God that allowed him to see what the servant could not see. Elisha told his servant first thing, don't be afraid. You know, it's interesting that fear not is mentioned some 365 times or more in the Bible. That means that God is saying to us 365 days of the year, you don't have to be afraid when you've got me on your side. Yeah. And so God gives his servant the reason he didn't have to fear. There are more on our side than on theirs. I wonder if the servant thought that Elijah flunked math in school. Look at this vast army. What do you mean there are more with us? Listen, it's two of us and it's thousands of them. Did you graduate with Jethro Bodine from Beverly Hillbillies? Yeah, some of y'all young people, yeah, y'all did a knot plus knot. You carry the knot and you come up with it. But let me be serious in this moment. How many of you really believe that God plus nothing and no one else is more than enough? Do you hear me today? God plus no one or nothing else is more than you need. As long as you got God on your side, you have everything you need. And so we have to refuse to negotiate with fear and stand in faith because there is an unseen God always present in our seen circumstances. Does it guarantee that things will work out the way we hope they'll work out? We want them to work. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that God is on our side. It does mean that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. In Psalm 27, King David put it like this. He faced foes, but this is what he declares in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He didn't care how many enemies came up against him to eat up his flesh. They stumbled and they fell. Why? Because God was on his side. And that's the way we have to be. Even if we're attacked, even if our body's attacked, even if our finances are attacked, no matter how many enemies come up against us, we have to trust God. Yeah, I remember many years ago when I would visit Chicago. I got some Chicago folk in the house. And my grandmother, my grandfather, they lived on the south side of Chicago. I think Dearborn Homes, I think it was the projects. Y'all, it was rough then. It's rough, real rough now, but it was rough then. But I remember one day I was visiting and something happened with my uncle, her son, which was only a couple, two or three years older than me. Somebody stole something. So he runs out of the apartment and he's running down the street. And me and grandma, we come downstairs and we're calling from Sam, where you going, man? Where you going, man? You're going to get beat up. You're going to get hurt. It's late at night, y'all. It's dark outside. And so Sam goes out into the darkness somewhere. So we're standing out across the street from the project. And here comes these fellas walking up the street. It's about three or four of them. Now, I'm a youngster. I'm probably about 11, 12 years old, somewhere in there. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to protect Granny. I mean, these were men, grown men. But she stood there. And she didn't flinch. And she had this duster on, y'all. The duster that she used to wear that with the pockets on it. And she took me on my shoulder and put me on the other side of her. And so she was between me and those guys. And I was saying, what's she going to do, Granny, you old? What you? But I noticed when the street light hit her duster, she had her hand on a trigger of a 38. It helps when you know who's on your side, whose presence you're in. And Granny just said, good evening, boys, good evening. And she made sure they saw that light shining on that. She had her hand on the trigger. Granny was ready to unload if they tried anything. I say that again, y'all. It makes a difference whose presence we're in. And we're in the presence of an almighty God that's always with us with all power. We don't have to be afraid when God is on our side. The last thing I want us to see in the text, y'all, this great historical text, that's instructive to us when we are afraid. We see this faithful God. So this is the best part of the text. Elisha prayed to God to open the eyes of his servant. Lord, revise his vision so he can see something different and bigger and greater. And when the servant looked up, he saw the hillside filled with horses and chariots of fire. What he saw transformed what he knew about God. Again, listen, you might not be surrounded this morning by a Syrian army, but maybe you're surrounded by something. Maybe you're dealing with some issues in your life that you just feel like, I don't have time for this stuff. I don't have time for foolishness. I got other things I need to do, and this comes my way. And maybe it's got you concerned. Maybe it's got you filled with some fears. But I want you to see beyond your circumstances. Look beyond what seems impossible and see again God. See God in his greatness. See God in his holiness. See God in his power. See God in his sovereignty and know what God can do in your life. When by faith we trust in the presence of a faithful God, we receive his transformative power to change us from the inside out. And though our circumstances may not change, God can change us. When we fear, I believe one thing that's really important, y'all, that our fear chiefly should be God. Fear God. Fear God as a priority. When we fear God, we don't have to fear anything else. Our God is holy, that he's almighty God, that he's righteous, that he's all-powerful, he holds all power, and when I talk about fear, I'm talking about this reverential awe of God. Yeah, somebody said, too, listen, that God can kill you dead. So there's a reason to fear, too. He made you. He brought you into this world, and he can take you out, too. But he's the same God that you'll either spend eternity with in heaven or separated from him in hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord I'm talking about again is reverential awe. Do you have reverential awe of God? Do you really worship him? Do you really love him? A.W. Tozer writes this: it is impossible to keep our moral practices sound and our inward aptitudes right while our idea of God is erroneous or inadequate. When we lose the fear of God and don't respect him and his commandments, we're going to live our lives without accountability to God and one another, which is the cause of a number of sins. Do you fear him? Do you reverence him? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body, but those that can destroy your body and your soul in hell. God proved himself faithful to Elijah and his servant. Elisha prayed and the entire Assyrian army was struck with blindness, y'all. You can read the story. Elisha then led them by the hand into the king of Israel, which they could have destroyed them. But Elijah said, don't destroy them. Listen, this is not how we treat our enemies, that God showed them grace. God showed them great grace that day. And so sometimes we're fearful like the servant. I'm almost done. At times we can be fearless like Elisha. But the one thing that we can trust in, the one thing that should never be a non-negotiable, is to put our faith in a faithful God who promises that he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Where do you turn when you're afraid? As a non-negotiable, I suggest as a priority that we put our trust and our faith in God Almighty. In fact, it's our faith in God that can cause us not to fear. His presence makes the difference. As I close with practical illustration of Dr. Tony Evans, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas-Fort Worth. He says this: most of us have experienced our children's dependence on us when they face their nightmares or storms come up in the middle of the night. That they hear the thunder and they hear the lightning, they see the lightning and they become afraid. And parents, you can testify to this, that they might scream out, they might cry, they jump out of the bed and they run down the valley of their bedrooms. They run down the valley of the hallway. They enter the valley of your room and they jump in bed with you. Because they need somebody to be with them. Listen, you're hugging. It doesn't stop the rain. The thunder doesn't stop the rain. It doesn't stop anything. The lightning doesn't change anything. None of this changes anything. But somehow your children are able to fall asleep next to you in the bed. As they cuddle up next to you, or they turn sideways, they kick you and almost kick you out of the bed. But it's because they know that you are with them. The circumstances, the outer circumstances, they don't change. The thunder doesn't stop. The lightning doesn't stop. But they know that you are with them. They know mama and daddy is with them. You help them face their fears in the midst of their struggles. This is exactly what our Heavenly Father does for us when we face our fears and our insecurities. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I know God is with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Again, whom shall I fear? God is with me. That God will take care of us the way a mother takes care of her child, according to Isaiah. And so what I want you to get from this text, to get from this sermon today, listen, don't negotiate your fears with faith. Hold on to faith. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Know that God is on your side. Know that his word is true. He promised he would never leave you, nor would he forsake you. Can I ask you one more time? What are you afraid of? Don't fear. Trust God. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your word today. As we consider the non-negotiables of our faith, those things that are essential. That in this world in which we live, oh God, there seems to be so many things that we can be afraid of. And we know that fear is a natural response to those things that are around us, oh God, that cause us to act, God, in a way that's appropriate, that's right, Lord God, to get away from the fears. But too often times we fear things, Lord God, more than we trust you. And so our heart's desire today, Lord, is to trust you even the more. Trust you so much that whatever comes our way, that we look to you first as a priority and we refuse to be afraid. God, we thank you for this word today. And we ask right now, Lord God, that you touch the hearts of someone that may not know you in the pardon of their sins. That maybe there's someone here today and they're walking and living in fear. Fear of their future, fear of many things in this world, oh God. But we pray today that they would put their trust in you. God, that they'd have a reverence for you. And reverence for you starts with a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ. That they would repent from their sins, turn to Jesus in faith, oh God. Admit that they're a sinner as we're all sinners, oh God. And forgive them of their sins as you've forgiven all of us. And we confess by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. God, touch the heart of someone right now. It comes down to this moment that someone would turn to you. Admit sins. Be willing to repent and turn. Believe in Jesus. Confess him and walk by faith in him. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.